The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the neighbors who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the neighbors said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Amen.
Will you please be seated.
Good morning. There are more of you. I think this owes to the vagaries of California tax law as much as anything else, but I wonder if those who are joining us for worship for the first time this season would just stand briefly so that we can see how our ranks have grown in one day. As many, you know, when people ask me how many people go to St. Margaret's, that's a complicated question because we're seasonal. And I always explain, well, you know, there are these certain patterns and we see, you know, more here and less there and everything. But I said, the first Sunday of November, it goes from, you know, a decent size to boom, we got a lot of folks in. And then and that continues roughly till the last Sunday of April. And then the first Sunday of May, whoa, aircraft hangar. It is so good to have you all here. It's appropriate that it's on All Saints Day, too. It's a reminder that we will see people we love again. I want to ask, and I asked this at 8 o'clock, and I have to tell you, I braced myself for a rough answer, but they pleased me very much, so I hope you will, too. Anybody know who Billy Joel is? Some? Good. Okay. We're getting there. You know the song, "Only the Good Die Young"? It has a great line in there. You know where I'm going on All Saints Day, right? "I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun," he says. "And only the good die young." Now, if you've ever, when you heard that line for the first time, if you're at all like me, inside your head, you said something to the effect of, "Heck yeah," only it wasn't the word heck. It was something else. because Billy Joel was saying something that is just so true. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. But as church people, that ought to make us a little uncomfortable. Why would that be? Well, there are a lot of reasons, but one, I think, is because maybe we have the wrong idea of what a saint is in the first place. If you're like me, you grew up in the church hearing I sing a song of the saints of God, and hearing, you know, various saints referred to kind of obliquely, and then each verse ends with some variation of, I want to be one too, I mean to be one too, God help me to be one too, all of those. The point of it seems to be, here are all these diverse types of people, kind of diverse, we are Anglicans, and here's the objective, is to become one of these giants of the faith, one of these ultra-pious, ultra-devout, perfect, spotless, sinless, no-fun people. That's the goal. Let's all strike away any remnant of fun, of joy. Let's just be very stern about our faith. Makes me mad they don't kneel at the Eucharistic prayer. Let's be perfect. Perfect in every way. I think that we've heard that so much, that notion of saintliness. We say, oh, you're a saint when someone does something that is not fun. We say, oh, you're a saint. And so we've got it ingrained in us that maybe that's what the saints are like. So no wonder Billy Joel said that. I think he's missing a very important point about what saints are, and that is, if you say, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints, you're foreclosing the possibility that they're the same people. We are foreclosing the possibility that the saints are the sinners. And by extension, that we sinners are the saints. I think that is a distinct possibility. And I think that's what the gospel is trying to teach us today, and I think that's what the events of the last week have been trying to teach us. In the midst of the horror and the tragedy of the killings in Kentucky and in Pittsburgh, we have come together to celebrate something bigger, a light. A light that shines in darkness. A light that is reflecting the image of God in whom we are all created. And I think that's what All Saints Day is about. This Friday, Jews around the world were celebrating Shabbat services, their weekly Sabbath worship. And they gathered in the desert into the various synagogues here. There are three major synagogues. One meets right here at Tarel. Then there's Temple Sinai just up the road from us, and Temple Isaiah in Palm Springs. All of them were meeting Friday night. All of them had reached out to Christian colleagues and said, will you stand with us against this kind of violence? And so we did. A bunch of clergy were in a bunch of places, so this will be a necessarily incomplete list. But I know, for example, that Kathleen Kelly and I were here at Harel for Shabbat services. Then Kathleen stayed with the congregation while I left to go up to Temple Sinai, and I participated in their Shabbat service as well. Deb and Betsy and I think maybe David, were you there? Were in Palm Springs at Temple Isaiah. We stood with people who were under attack because of their relationship to God. And as they came together for the lighting of the candles to open the Shabbat service, they have a prayer that they offer when they're lighting those candles. It goes for a while, but I'm just going to read the first stanza of the prayer. As these Shabbat candles give light to all who behold them, and here's the key, so may we, by our lives, give light to all who behold us. As these Shabbat candles give light to all who behold them, so may we, by our lives, give light to all who behold us. The saints, you see, are not perfect people. If you pay attention to the lives of the saints, you know that to be true. Anyone here who's ever heard of Saint Jerome knows what I'm talking about. They are not necessarily perfect or even nice people. The saints are the people in whose lives we are able to see through them, through their transparency, and maybe even through the cracks of their imperfection, through their wounds, through their imperfection, we're able to see through them and see spilling out. This isn't even on. I don't know why I have it. See spilling out from that the truth of the light of God. We don't contain that light. We reflect it. God is the light. And each of us is made in the image and likeness of God, which is why it's absolute blasphemy to say that the people of God, the Jews, who brought us our awareness of how we were made, should be the subjects of attacks like this. You say that, you're saying that when I see the image of God, who I claim to love, I'm going to extinguish that. And that's not right. The saints let us see that light. They are the ones who embody this prayer. So may we by our lives give light to all who behold us. That's what these peccados are about. These are celebrations of the lives of people who by all appearances are gone, but in reality, we know and we represent here so we can see it more clearly. There is a reality of eternal life to us and to those we love who are resting in the hope of resurrection. They are only absent from us by appearance. But maybe you remember last week's gospel. Maybe you remember Bartimaeus coming to Jesus, this blind man coming to Jesus, and Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, "I want to see." And maybe he meant just with his eyes, but I think it was pretty clear from the context of the story that he saw something bigger. He saw a reality of who we are and who God is and what we're here for and the eternal nature of our existence. And so we get to this week's gospel. And Cherry already read it for you, but I'll try to read it briefly and ask you to just see it with different eyes. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now you'll notice that it does not here say that Jesus was upset about Lazarus' death. It does not say that. Listen to what it does say. When Jesus saw her weeping and the neighbors who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He was moved by their reaction, not by Lazarus' death. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. He wept at their reaction. He wept at their incapacity to see what was really going on here. But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Who's the blind man here? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it, and Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he's been dead for 4 days. They put that in so you know he really was dead. He wasn't sleeping or in a coma or something. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? That your eyes would be opened, that you would see a reality behind what is apparent." So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me." See, Jesus had the reality well in hand. "I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Notice that he didn't do anything. He didn't wave his magic wand or anything. He didn't say some special prayer. He just said, "Lazarus, come out," speaking plain truth to a reality that he could see. And the dead man came out, and his hands and his feet were bound with strips of cloth, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said, "Unbind him and let him go." Unbind him. Take those cloths off his face so that he can see. So that he can see what? So that we, by our lives, give light to all who behold us. So that we can see that what is God's is ours always, if we are God's. For life is eternal, and love is immortal, and death is only a horizon, and a horizon is nothing save the limit of our sight. The lesson of All Saints' Day for us is not that we should be those horrible people that Billy Joel laments, the saints we cry with, but that you, warts and all, if you were to be as openly transparent as the saints, if I could do that, if we all could do that, we would be the saints of God in our imperfection, and the glory of God would be revealed in us. And so we offer blessing and thanksgiving to God for the saints we've known, who've shown us the way of God. The saints we remember up here, using peccados to help us see more clearly. If I could ask you to stand, let's bless these peccados and give thanks for the saints in our own lives. "We seem to give them back to you, dear God, who gave them to us. Yet as you did not lose them in giving, so we have not lost them by their return. You do not give as the world gives, O lover of souls. What you give, you do not take away. For what is yours is ours always, if we are yours. And life is eternal, and love is immortal, and death is only a horizon. And a horizon is nothing save the limit of our sight. Bless these signs of the lives of the saints we hold in our own hearts. In the fullness of time, lift us up with them, O God, that we may see further. Cleanse our eyes that we may see more clearly. Draw us closer to yourself, that we may know ourselves nearer to our beloved who are with you. And while your Son prepares a place for us, prepare us for that happy place, that where they are and you are, we too may be. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen."